So God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If God's going to do a thing, he's going to send a word. That's how he does it. His creative power is released in his speaking. Jesus taught us that we release the power of God the same way. That we are created, and then as born-again believers, with the Spirit of God on the inside to speak the word. We understand from several scriptures, Mark 11, 23 among them, say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. And if you shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. So there is a creative power of God available to us in our words as well. One of the reasons I think we discount when we read the scriptures or we hear a word of God or even the teaching of the word is we know sometimes how cheap our words are. You ever hear the expression, oh, I'm just saying, just saying? And it's like this just throwaway words. People just talk and they just say things and it doesn't matter, don't mean nothing. I didn't mean nothing by it. Well, then why'd you say it? And that's from not understanding the power that's released in words. That when you say harmful things, you say hurtful things, or even just throwaway things, just stupid stuff. Just saying something like, well, easy come, easy go. All right, you just released power for things that come to you to also leave you. Good things I'm talking about there specifically. And if your words are cheap, you'll look at God's words as cheap and you'll miss the blessing of God because when he speaks a word, you wonder, does he mean it? Is it real? Is it powerful? Because I know people just say things. God, are you just saying? That's where we cheapen these things. And if we would hear a word of God, receive it in our spirit like, oh, Almighty God, just spoke, and that's it. If we would view his word that way, we would have what he says, and it would change everything about us. And so that's some of what we're talking about here. And in terms of healing, this is how God heals. Now we see it where Jesus laid hands on the sick. We're instructed to lay hands on the sick. We see different ways. He spits on the ground, makes clay, rubs it on somebody's eyes. There are different ways that that power might be released, but it originates in this. God speaks a word. Regardless of method of ministry after that, it comes down to a word. So every move God makes, he makes by sending a word. Matthew 8 and verse 5. As an example, Matthew 8, 5, it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. That is a level of revelation that you could realize if Jesus would come to my house, he could heal me. But then you got to think about how do I get Jesus to my house? And in those days, more than one went to Jesus and said, come to my house. Jairus was one of them, ruler of the synagogue. Come to my house and my daughter shall live. And he had to get Jesus physically present in his house. Jesus ministered to his daughter. It turned out she died before he got there. And Jesus spoke a word to the father there as well. And fear not, only believe. And then when Jesus was there, he raised her up. But another level of revelation higher was what this centurion understood. Look at this next. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Look at what he says. But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Now, he goes on to explain how it is that he knows this. He's a man under authority and having authority. And himself having authority, he knows. Say to one of the soldiers, you do this, they go and do it. All he has to do is speak a word as a commander, and it happens. And he recognized that Jesus is a commander of the power of God, that with a word, Jesus releases the power of God. Amen. And that's why he said, just say the word. All you need to do is say the word. And for whatever you need, if you'll walk in the light of this revelation, and you can now because you just heard it, if a Roman centurion who was not a member in the kingdom can receive from the Lord, well, we especially can as children of the king, citizens of the kingdom, right? And we could understand that Jesus, just say the word and I'll be healed. Amen. When God heals, he sends a word. Now, there's two things at work here. One is that he has already spoken, and the other is we need to come to the realization of it. And so we talk in both present tense and past tense. So when you are in need of some particular blessing, let's say it's healing, you say, Lord, I come before you and I ask for healing in my body. And he may either speak to you in your spirit or speak to you in your spirit, reminding you of a scripture you may have read. Or he can even say it and you've never read it. He's capable of that. Or he may simply do like he did with me at the moment that Pastor Sandy was injured and she's between life and death. And I said, Lord, what do you say about this? And he said to me, what have I already said about it? And he may take you to that. And if you know anything about your Bible, you have in you a reservoir that can be tapped and you know what he said. For instance, by his stripes, you were healed. He's already said. He's already spoken. Right? And we forget not his benefits. He has healed all our diseases. He's already spoken that. So a request to ask God to send a fresh word will likely be met with, what did I already say? Well, I know you said that, but you know, you said that to somebody else. What about to me? And he may, in his compassion and mercy, refresh you. He may, can I say it plain, put up with that and be kind and compassionate, right? But then there's times where, for some of us, we know what he said. And when you ask him, Lord, speak concerning this, you're going to hear nothing. But Lord, come on, just speak the word. When you know in your heart, he already has. Amen. And when you get to that place where you know that, he will say, grow up, you big baby, and refer to what I've already said. Praise the Lord. And so this Roman centurion understood this, and if he can understand this, so can you. All we need is a word. And if we have a word, we have what we have asked of him. And in the mind of God, it's an accomplished fact. Amen. Amen. So we're moving towards a 2-year anniversary of the injury for Pastor Sandy here. And I'm always getting to a point where if I let what I see beat up on me, and now, Lord, and I have to catch myself and go, oh, this is already done. This is already taken care of. It doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter what I see, good or bad. Complication arises. It does not change what has already been done. He's already spoken. So what do? I refresh myself in the Word. So when it says in the Scripture that he sent his Word and healed them, what tense is that scripture in? It's past tense. I know we think when we don't see it in future tense, but God, seeing the end from the beginning, sees it already done. And to him, all of this is past tense. And if I'm going to walk in his light, live in his realm, I will also see it as past tense. I will begin to see what he sees. This is why, and John just shared with me earlier today, he had a vivid dream of Pastor Sandy doing everything she always did and has done. He saw her walking, talking, teaching, ministering to people, fully capable, fully able. Well, I believe just the Lord just showed John in dream what the Lord sees and what we see. And I believe it's true. Amen. You know, we are called to walk in that understanding, not our human reasoning. Well, I don't see it. That's the problem. You don't see it. Look at what he sees as already done. And when you can do that, it's already done. One of the things we said last week was that in his compassion, God moves first. What was his first move? What's the opening move? His opening move is send the word. So he already sent his word and healed you. Amen. So if there's something in your body now, it's already healed. And he already sent a word on it. Well, I don't know what that word would be. Well, maybe you ought to spend some time seeking him, reading the Bible. Read your Bible. There it is. It's in there. It's in there. I had opportunity to share with a brother and a believer this week. It's just Isaiah said it. It's in Matthew. It's in 1 Peter. In the New Testament, it's in past tense. By his stripes, you were healed. If I were, then I am. If she were, then she is. Amen. And when we talk like that, we're not denying reality. We're talking about a higher reality. Everything in this life is temporary. Everything in God is eternal. That's the opening move. Now I want to read to you again a quote from a book entitled Christ the Healer. And this book was our textbook in Bible school. It's working on being 100 years old. It is still probably the best there is to handle all of the various objections that people raise and to handle the theology. Because at some point in time, people want to say, well, what about this doctrine, that doctrine, that this theology, and all of that? And every one of them is handled as well. It's not written in a scholarly fashion that everybody couldn't grasp. It's easy enough to read and understand, but let me tell you, it authoritatively handles it all. Praise the Lord. But here's a quote from this. It says, getting things from God, the author is F.F. Bosworth, in case you want to know. Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Getting things from God is like playing checkers. After one person moves, he has nothing to do until the other player moves. So if God moves first, God has nothing to do until you move second. It don't matter how much you plead, argue, cry and carry on, demand, rant, rave, what some people call pray. We've been praying and praying and praying and praying. You don't move mountains by praying. You move mountains by saying and not doubting in your heart. Amen. People like to say prayer changes things. Well, not what some folk call prayer. Doesn't. Faith moves mountains. And prayer is definitely going to be involved in your faith walk. Don't misunderstand me. Faith. So it says again, God has nothing. After one person moves, he has nothing to do until the other player moves. Each man moves in his own turn. So when God has provided healing or any other blessing and sent us his word, it is our move before he will move again. Opening move, God sends his word. Your turn. Nothing's going to happen until you take your turn. Pause for effect. Nothing's going to happen until you take your turn. Can I say it here this way? If it hasn't happened yet, you're not finished taking your turn. It's not him. It's not him. And he, knowing the end from the beginning, already knows his next move. Some people are sophisticated in their checkers, or even more so chess, and they know several moves in advance. God knows all the moves. While we're making a move, people have different rules on checkers and chess. If you touch a piece, you have to move that piece. Some play that way. So while we're with a finger on it, I think I always, when I played, if I don't take my finger off, I'm not done making the move. So I put it there so I can visualize and come back and try another one. And part of what you're doing is you're making a move and you're looking up at their face to see what reaction you get. If they go, oh no, then okay, that's a good move. If they go, gotcha, oh no, I didn't mean that move. Right? So depending on your rules. But God knows all the moves, and if he hasn't moved yet, you're not done making your move. What do I mean? I taught some weeks back, and I taught for a while, faith and patience. Your move may take days, weeks, months. Your move is to believe in patience. So you could be just not done with the patience part in your move before he moves next. Well, how long until I'm done? Well, that's the thing about faith, is you keep going, not knowing. See, some of you I'm going to make happy because here's the key and here's the answer. Others are going to go, oh, it sounds difficult. No, it's easy while it's hard. Our move is to expect what he promises when we pray. Well, I prayed. Okay, did you expect when you prayed? Well, I just don't see it happening yet. I guess I got to pray again. Then you didn't expect when you prayed. Amen. It says this will cause us to act our faith before we see the healing. A lot of times people think of faith as something you believe in your heart. Well, you do need to believe in your heart, but faith will cause action. You haven't operated in faith till you've acted. Faith is an action. Hope is an expectation. So some folk get them confused, in my opinion, that they're operating in hope, but until it becomes taking an action, making choice and decision and sticking with it, taking that action, it's still hope. A desire, an expectation, and there's more to that even, and I guess I'll just leave that alone for now. But it'll cause us to act our faith before we see the healing. The healing comes in the next move, which is God's move. So if we haven't seen the healing, if you haven't seen the healing, and some things are processed over time and you see a little at a time, that's fine. And if God would manifest in our bodies a little bit of healing, as I gave testimony for Pastor Sandy, that's part of it, but I'm not done yet for all of it. Amen. What does that mean? It means keep making my move in faith. Stick with it, stick with it, stick with it. And then finally, to finish this quote from the book, God never moves out of his turn. Wouldn't you like it if he would? Boy, I would. Oh, that would be wonderful. All of us have heard of people, well, I prayed, and boom, there it was. And they had a very short wait. And we hear testimonies like that, and we can mistakenly believe that's how it works. If your prayer is magical enough, you get instant results. Or you lay hands on the sick, and it's instant. That's not how it works. I wish it was. But God never moves out of his turn, but he always moves when it is his turn. So if you don't see movement, it's still your turn. Now, that puts responsibility on us, not him, but that's good news because now you know there's something you can do about it. When it seems stuck and it ain't moving, you know, what do? Now you know. It's still your move. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23. So we have established God will send a word. He sent his word and healed you. That's his move. Your move next is what you do with that word. What is your move? Your move is doing the right thing with the word. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, when God sends His Word, and it says here that we're born again through a Word of God. What Word of God? Well, the Word of God that whosoever shall believe. Several times it's said different ways. You're born again by believing the Word of God. And it says here that that is an incorruptible seed. Now, corruption means degeneration, coming apart, degrading, dissolving, fading. It is over time diminishing. God's Word never diminishes, never corrupts, never fades, never degrades, never comes apart. This is good news. The Word He released thousands of years ago when He said He sent His Word and healed you abides forever and hasn't diminished not one bit. Even in the natural, there's stories of seeds that have been found that have been stored in dry climates that are thousands of years old, and they're found, you know, maybe in a clay pot or something like that, in an archaeological dig, and they take some of those seeds and say, I wonder what would happen if we planted them in the soil and watered them, and they grow. Thousands of years old, and the time is always short. But talking about a seed has in it all the potential. It is the entire code of life. It is the genesis, the beginning, what is necessary. Just an acorn produces a mighty oak tree or any of these things, you know. It's just a seed. Even animals reproduce, people reproduce, and there's talk of the seed, right? All the potential is there in the seed. So if you needed something, God will send His Word. And what is His Word? It's a seed. It's a seed. Well, I asked Him to heal me, and He sent you a seed. We don't need show of hands, but, you know, how many are born again? Well, what proof of that do you have? Well, I didn't do anything except receive His Word and believe it. So you're nurturing the seed planted in you without proof. Why do we want it to work somewhere else? Say we're believing God to get the bills paid. God, I need some help here. We need these bills paid, and they're not yet paid. Well, if you'll receive the seed of the Word and nurture that without proof, it's true, and it starts working. Starts growing. So every word of God is a seed. Amen. And not a harvest. God will send you the seed for harvest, not the harvest. And it seems real simple, but it's something that needs emphasizing. When you seek something from God, He will send the seed of that harvest, not the harvest. Why? Because it requires the walk of faith, trusting and believing Him to take the seed and turn it into a harvest. And He's still the author of the harvest. He's still the giver of the harvest. But harvest comes after a season of nurturing the seed. We know this in the natural. We live in an area that there's a lot of agriculture. And the harvesters come in for this year pretty much, right? Well, you know, when spring comes, when the season for planting seed comes around again, we're going to see all the tractors out in the fields again. They'll be tilling, they'll be planting, and then what happens? It springs up. And after that, farmer says, okay, it's up, and he'll take care of those plants as much as is necessary. He knows after a season, it'll be a harvest. And a lot of them, is such an investment in seed for the ground. A lot of them will use financing to do that, and the payoff comes later. A lot of them borrow money, understanding what they're going to buy is not a harvest, but they're going to buy seed. What they buy is seed and fertilizer and weed killer. That's what they buy. That's what they invest in, is seed. Why? Because if they'll put the seed in the ground and they'll nurture that seed, they know after a season it will produce a harvest. When we go before God, we need to buy seed. And if you understand that, you're getting seed, not harvest. You have your harvest. And it's time to rejoice. I got seed. Seed's in the ground. I'm putting water on that seed. I'm putting fertilizer on the seed. And oh, in my mind, I can see it. In the words of that song, amber waves of grain. Right? A farmer sees it every year while he's planting. Amen. And he knows this too. If he doesn't buy seed, there won't be a harvest. If he doesn't care for his seed, there won't be a harvest. So every word of God is a seed, and the harvest is in the seed. And it always comes after a season of nurturing. You're the farmer, and your harvest has been given you in the form of a seed. Mark 4:13, please. Mark 4:13. 13, it says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? We're talking about the parable of the sower. You remember that? Three different kinds of ground, good ground, all that. And it says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. It's the whole reason for Jesus talking about seed and types of soil, which he says is types of heart. Different hearts in people. And so now we know we're talking about hearts, and we're talking about the Word of God as a seed going into a heart, and then depending on that heart condition, whether or not there's a harvest at all, or the quality of that harvest. Right? You're roughly familiar. We'll just read through it quickly. 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. So the seed can come, and it can be taken right away. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. This is an individual who sees it, they're excited, it's planted, it sprouts, but they can't keep going. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So it starts up, but there's competition in the heart for attention. There's competition, and other things take over. This happens a lot. In fact, I would say, I mentioned earlier, move of God of the late 60s, the 70s, the early 80s, there was a fire for God in this country. And people, you'd come to a church like this and you would fight for a seat. And there'd be an overflow section and the room would be filled with every chair imaginable. I went to services where I had to stand along the back wall because that's all there was. And I was grateful to be in the room because there were other people who were not in the same room. There are other people standing outside with speakers. Now, this was in my lifetime. Some of us are old enough, we were part of that. We remember it. Makes you long for those days, I'll be honest with you. And oh, the signs and wonders and the miracles and the presence of God. Whoo! So competition for the word. And then finally, verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So Jesus taught that parable to talk about conditions of heart. Once that seed is planted in the heart, how does the individual treat that seed? How do they take care of that seed? Do they let a bird come and just take it away immediately? Do they go for a while okay, and they just kind of, you know, fizzle out? Or is there so much going on in their lives, so much competition in life, thorns come. You know, it said deceitfulness of riches and all that kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with being rich. It's how you go about it. Amen. And we know from the scripture, God will make you rich. But that's different from doing it yourself. And some bear harvest or have the harvest of that word. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 3:6, please. The word of God's a seed. And what you get depends on how you treat that seed. 1 Corinthians 3:6, here Paul's talking about division inside the church. And he had people that said, well, I like Paul. Others said, I like Apollos. And it's just like today, I follow this minister and I like him. And that guy's no good and all that kind of thing. And the thing was, is there's not to be division in the body of Christ. Should not be division. One particular minister may really crank my tractor, float my boat, really do it for me. And another one, not so much, but that don't mean that one's no good. We can't, if we find wrong doctrine, we can judge wrong doctrine. There's nobody perfect, nobody perfect. So Paul was handling and addressing division among them. But he says here again, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we see here, Paul is talking about himself as a planter. And Apollos is a waterer. If you check it out a little closer, you'll find that Paul started churches. He's a planter. And you find out, well, what was Apollos? What was his gifting? Apollos was a teacher. Apollos is a waterer. Apollos didn't start churches. He helped them after they were going. So Paul would start churches and plant, but then as he would go on to the next field to plant it also, he'd send in behind him a waterer. So you see here a little insight into individuals in their callings. Some are planters, some are waterers. And I guess I'd have to say concerning myself, I'm a waterer. Though, you know, she and I, we started this church. We planted this church. So we're the parents of the church, so to speak. We planted. But in ministry giftings that I have, I'm largely a waterer. And from time to time, people will say, well, now, Pastor Dan, you need to really plant more. Yeah, but by gifting, I'm a waterer. From time to time, I plant, but mostly I water. And those of you that really see the need for planting, have at it. It's your gift. Go. Come on. Would you plant some things so I can water them, please? Yeah. Get some people saved so I can raise them up. Amen. All right, enough on that tangent. But we see here that the Word of God is planted, and then it's watered. Planting by itself is not enough. And watering, if there's no seed planted to water, the watering don't work. We need planting and we need watering. And you in your life, you need a word planted in you, and you are both the one responsible in your life for planting and watering. Just because you got born again once doesn't mean you don't keep watering that and nurturing it and growing it up. And if you receive a word of God, by his stripes you were healed. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. It takes root in your heart. You're going to have to water that. Because if you don't water it, it's going to die. And you'll say, well, I thought I heard a word from God, but nothing ever happened. So I don't know. I guess it doesn't work. And there are people by the hundreds and hundreds that I've met through the years. Oh, yeah, I tried that believe the word stuff, and it didn't work. You're a liar. You just failed to water the word that was planted in you. We gather here, and I water. That's only once a week. A lot of things need more water than once a week. Our lives are tender, like plants that are called succulents. They sort of need water daily. Is that right? You're a succulent. You need water every day. And you only gather with me once a week, sometimes less than that. You can't depend on me to be all the water in your life. Amen. And if you see somebody, whoo, man, they prosper, they grow, they get healed, you got to say, there's a waterer. Why'd they get it, not me? It seems like I deserve it more than they deserve it. It doesn't, it's not about deserve. It's about who waters and who don't. About who plants seed and who don't. And if God made the first move and he planted a sent a seed, did you plant it in your heart? Are you watering it? If you do, there'll be a harvest. If you don't, there won't. The first time you receive a word, it's the planting. And there's a lot of word that we would share in this church, in this building, that was planted in you long ago. It was planted. Since then, you've been hearing it again and again. We're talking about healing in light of things more general and broad. This applies in every area. But when you hear it again and again, that is watering and or nurturing the seed. Have you noticed you heard one time is not enough? You need to hear it again. And you need to hear it again. And you need to hear it again. That is water to a seed planted. How many can quote it to me? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The technicalities of Greek language there is a present and continuous action. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's how faith is strong. That's how faith comes. You receive that word, it's planted in you, but then you have to nurture it and hear it and keep hearing it and keep hearing it and keep hearing it. And if you read, by his stripes, you were healed. All you need to do is say, Jesus, say it again. By his stripes, you were healed. Jesus, say it again. By his stripes, you were healed. And it starts to dawn on you. Do you know that's past tense and I'm already healed? That I'm not seeking God for a healing. He's already made the move. It's already been done. It's already provided in its full manifestation. The full harvest has already been granted to me. All I need to do is keep watering this until it springs up all the way to maturity, and then I have it. It's mine. It's a harvest. It's mine. But it's already mine. Amen. Keep watering the word. Keep watering the word. Mark 4:26, please. I like this next scripture. This is great news to me. Hope it is to you too. Mark 4:26, it says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if. A few weeks ago, I talked about that. Everywhere you see the kingdom of God is like, you're about to learn a principle of how things work in the kingdom. Regardless of how people think things should work, Jesus teaches us how it works in the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. And let's stop there for a second. Notice that it says the man scatters seed on the ground and then he goes to sleep. And he rises by day and goes about his business, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he doesn't even know how that works. In other words, you don't need to know how it works to work it. You mean if I just plant the word of God in my heart, that it of itself is going to sprout, that it is going to grow, and I don't even know how that works. When Jesus says, give, and it shall be given you. I don't need to know how that works. I just need to plant that in my heart. How does that really work? Notice that this fellow goes to sleep. He's at rest. He's at peace. He doesn't dig up that seed every couple of hours and look at it to see if anything's happening. He knows it's happening and goes to sleep. You can plant the seed in your heart and then go about living your life. And it's working. It's working. It's working. Now, I understand in farming, they will, after a few days after planting seed, that they will randomly just go push dirt aside a little bit and make sure it's germinated, it's sprouted. You know, they will do a little bit of that. And that may count the number of days or start the count or something like that. But We don't dig up the seed to see if it's working. We know it's working. How? I don't know. Really, you plant a seed? You did this first when you were a child. You put a seed in the ground and it began to grow. Did you know how that works? Nope. It just does. It just does. You don't have to know how it works to work it. In fact, a lot of those principles of science that we use, we really don't know how it works. We just know it does. They're still trying to figure out gravity. How does gravity work? Well, we're benefiting from it right now. You're on your chair instead of floating in the air. Or magnetism. That is a great mystery to science. Magnetism. How does that work? The Earth has a magnetic field, as do all the planets and stars and so on. How does that really work? That's pretty crazy. But we have all kinds of instruments that do wonderful things for us, starting with compass. So we don't know how, and we don't have to know how. Verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself. Or making the connection, the word of God yields by itself, even if you don't know how. You don't have to. Its power is within itself for its own production. You don't have to figure it out. Really what we're saying, if a child can plant a seed and grow his mama a flower, anybody can plant a seed of the Word of God and get the harvest. I don't care who it is. And I don't care how much training, knowledge they have. You can start right now, right where you're at. It says, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. So we're seeing here that the Word of God follows a process like a natural seed follows a process. You may start to show evidence of the Word of God starting to produce. And just because you have planted the Word, you've watered the Word, and all you see is the blade, well, you're just not done yet. That's all. That's not disappointing. Should be rejoicing over all the blades are up. A farmer rejoices when the field goes from black dirt to looking across and seeing a lot of green. As long as it's the right kind of green and not the weeds. So if you see just a blade, it's just the beginning. Let's take prosperity, or for that matter, healing. Pastor Sandy is doing a little more than before. Hey, we got blades. Praise God, we got blades. It's working. It's working. And I told her so many times yesterday, that power of God healing you is working, and I can see it. And I rejoice over everything new that she's doing. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. Look, how do I know it's working? I can see blades. Well, that's not the harvest. Yeah, but it shows the harvest is on the way. The harvest is on the way. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. So some things you'll see a process. For instance, God has promised us abundant life even in finance. He won't just drop $1 million on you. Not at the beginning. But he'll take your $2 and make it $10. And make it $20. And given enough time. So many times you hear about the prosperity that a believer has walked in. You maybe need to find out some of the details, because they may have walked by faith for years. And they're starting to see the blade, then the ear. Yes, here comes the harvest, and the harvest will increase and increase and increase, but there may be years involved. Sometimes I testify a little bit. God's been good to us, but we started when we were living in poverty in 1983-84, seeking first the kingdom of God. So that's been a while that we've been moving in this. And it took years to start to get rolling. So if you've been at it just a little while, hey, you got a good start. Keep going. Keep going. Verse 29, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. When the harvest comes, you'll know it. It's time to go pick it. Amen. So here again, the way that things work in the kingdom of God, a seed, then you'll see the blade, then you'll see the ear, then the harvest comes, and you have to reap the harvest. So these things, all the Word of God always comes as a seed. Every divine action or miracle that you desire of God is sent as a word seed. God doesn't send harvests directly. He sends seeds. Boy, if you just grasp this one thing, you are on your way. He doesn't send harvests. He sends seeds. One principle that I used to teach a lot, your miracle is already in your hand. God will always take what you already have and multiply it and make it more. An example of this would be the widow who Elijah was sent to, who had enough meal and oil to make one more meal, and she was going to die in famine. And the man of God, the prophet, came to her and said, "Well, make that meal for me first, and then go ahead." Her miracle was already in her house. She already had what she needed. That flower was seed to more flour. The word from the prophet, she took him as the word, as the prophet of God, the word of God. She obeyed that word. She nurtured that day after day after day, and they never ran out until the famine was over. Amen. So every divine action or miracle you desire of God is sent as a word seed. If you plant it and nurture that seed, it is your answer and the guarantee of your harvest. So if you come to church today with a need, "God, I'm seeking you. We need something about this." Just even in the teaching that I'm doing today, your answer's there. He just gave you the seed. He gave you everything you need for the harvest that you need, the whole thing. Does that mean when you get home that there's going to be a special postal service delivery to your mailbox and it's going to be a mega check? Don't you know the post office don't deliver on Sunday? Well, see, angels do. Well, you got your delivery already this morning, and it's the seed, it's the word that I've spoken to you. Don't go looking in your mailbox, look in your heart, look in your ear right now. You just got the special delivery already this morning. And let's close one more scripture, and we're done here. Galatians 6, 9. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." To my observation of watching believers who through the years I've taught in front of thousands, but through the years many multiplied hundreds of people, and they've heard this word and heard this word, I would say that far too many, maybe even the majority, didn't get anywhere close to what God had for them because they grew weary while doing the right things and they lost heart. And in losing heart, the harvest didn't come. What they wanted, what they were believing for, it didn't materialize. The harvest didn't come. They saw the blade, they saw the ear, but they stopped. Well, how long do you keep going? As long as it takes, as long as is necessary. It doesn't have to take a long time. Sometimes we are regular. We start and stop. We do real good, and then we let it fall to the wayside. Then we do good. We let it fall to the wayside. We got to watch out for that. And so when everything looks like it's not working, it's still working if you'll stick with it. And at every thought of, "Lord, this doesn't look good." I've had many occasions to do this over the last couple years, especially. And every time a discouragement knocks on my door and says, "Look at that, that's a setback," I say, "No, I know what he said, and it's working. It's working." I keep going back to that first word the Lord gave us when she was injured. "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord." Jeremiah 30, 17. And countless times I've spoken that. I see something that bothers me that I don't like. I see an inability, a problem, whatever it is. I say it to Sandy many times. Sometimes I whisper in her ear, "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal," declares the Lord. And I'm taking what was received as a seed, and by saying it again, I'm watering it and watering it, and it's still growing. It's still growing. "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal," declares the Lord. So God has said things to you. You need to water them. You need to water them. And if you do, you'll have your harvest. Amen? How long do you need to keep doing it? Until harvest day. Some things take longer than other things. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this day, for this word. We thank you for the seed sown in our heart. We thank you for the water that we've poured upon that seed. We thank you for the encouragement that came by the Holy Ghost. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.